Isaiah 6:8. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. This is the preacher, your brother, Elder V. You're tuned into ALMHOIDA, and this is Through Thy Precepts, an opportunity on Wednesdays midweek where we get a chance to just go through scriptures, go through precepts, and do a Bible study. I hope you're keeping your head above water. I hope all is well with you all, that you're not believing the hype, and that you're not giving in to various things that are taking place all around us. We got a lot of demons at work and seeking whom they may devour, which is why you got to keep your game up. And when I say your game up, I mean your prayer life, staying in these precepts, and coming up out of her, separating yourself from the ways of this world. And the only way you can do that is by keeping the Most High's commandments, which they've tried to tell you are done away with, and they are not done away with. And this is going to be the key to you being somewhat prepared and hoping by faith that you could be a part of the remnant. For 2/3 of our people will be destroyed, but there will be a third, as spoken of in the book of Revelations, that will make it. I want to thank you all that have been keeping up with us and tuning in. Last Shabbat, we had a lot of technical difficulties last Sabbath with trying to bring forth this lesson on the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. And we had a lot of people that were tuned in. It seemed like Shaitan didn't want us to get that message out. And then at the same time, I'm realizing that this is a study that needs to not be rushed. Maybe be midweek can give you a chance to enjoy it, participate in it, be a part of it. So what I'm going to do is move the study from the Sabbath, Shabbat, to Wednesdays, midweek. The times may vary. As you can see, I'm doing it early today, and more than likely will be late, a little bit later in the evening. But I'm getting it done today, and I'm going to move it. Most High willing, we will still have Straight No Chaser. And that way, on the Sabbath, the Shabbat, after we go through the laws, the reading of the laws, the dissecting of the laws and precepts, we can have time to discuss pertinent topics that spiritually that the Ruach might lead us into as it pertains to couples and women and men and children and coming out of her, so that we can have a lesson geared towards our people, because that day is for us. It's not really a day to talk about current events, Edomites, Esau, what everybody else is doing, cutting up the camps. It's a time for us to edify and exhort one another, come together, be refreshed, be healed, lay all our worries down, our trips, our gripes, and get an understanding of how we're supposed to love each other in fellowship. It's a solemn assembly, and so I want to dedicate that time to it. And I don't think a lot of people were able to keep up with Kings of Judah and Israel, but on the other end, a lot of people have been keeping up, enjoying it, passing it on, teaching it, preaching it elsewhere, other stations, YouTube, Facebook, other channels. All praises to the Most High for what he's doing, because we understand with the Kings of Judah and Israel what it's all about and the reason we cover it. It's not just history. So I'm going to get into that. And what I want to do today is kind of elaborate on 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, that spoke of what happened to Solomon in the end. I think there's a lot of exploits that we understand about Solomon, quite a few books, Song of Solomon, sweet love story, Ecclesiastes, the Acts of Solomon, the Wisdom of Solomon, Testament of Solomon. And then the book of Kings. There's so many books to talk about the great feats that this man accomplished, the pentagram he used to be able to command demons to assist him in building the temple. There's so many things you could cover that you don't know exactly where to pinpoint. But today, I'm just going to do a reading, and I'll probably comment throughout the reading on 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. And as I said, weeks following, I will continue this series on Wednesday nights, the Most High willing. So before we get into that, on Thursdays, of course, we have Straight No Chaser. And that's an opportunity for us to maybe look at the current events prophetically and from an urban perspective. An urban perspective would have a lot to do with the children of Israel, the people of the Most High that were made in his image, and where we stand right now to better understand the application and the metaphors that exist, the allegories that are in the word, and break it down. And also to kind of prepare ourselves. It's not just enough to know, but we have to be stewards and know how to do. And so I'd like to get into that as well in the coming days. And also, let's see, if you're here with us, the Most High willing, on the seventh day, we know that's our day of rest, the Sabbath, and I just talked about that. So that would be the direction that we'd be going into. I would like to continue to dedicate coming up more conversation about being healthy and being whole. It's struggle. It's a fight. They're doing everything they can to attack the organic food now. the farm-grown food. So what we need to learn how to do is not only pray and fast, but how to detox daily and really go to war with taking care of our bodies. Some of you got some stuff lurking inside of you and you don't even know it until it comes into manifestation. So we're going to talk about how to deal with that. There is a product that the Most High has given me that can help you with that. And if you go to the website, which is almhoida.com, you can order this product and get more information. That's almhoida.com. It's a product we call Morning Glory, something you want to take in the mornings, even in the evening, to kind of assist with the daily detox. You can always call us or email us for more information about that as well. We want to see our people be healthy and be whole, because you've got to be a good steward over your body. One of the other reasons I want to teach on Wednesdays is because on Saturdays I also know that I'm dealing with my people, and we're stiff-necked, hard-headed people. And Isaiah 58 told me to lift up my voice like a trumpet in Zion, show my people their transgressions and their sins. And that's the focus. That's my desire. That's where I'm going to go with that. Also, because I'm concerned about your soul. I don't want to see you wake up in a burning hell. Not on my watch. We don't play church. I'm trying to get some of y'all to stop worshiping these men. Stop being a part of these satellite camps with a leader you have no contact with or elder. Just trying to get you all to understand that your personal relationship and how you pastor your family in your house is the priority and what you're going to be judged on. Better stop worshiping a man and leaning on him as a crutch. But some of y'all have been turned over to that you worship as an idol, which is a person. So you're turned over to that. I pray that you wouldn't be so brainwashed. My prayers go out to you. But I've got so many things that on the Shabbat I realize spiritually that I need to address. Sometimes it's hard for me to focus, and there's a lot of information as it pertains to these kings and this process. And I'll play this promo for you, and it'll help you to better understand the importance of this lesson series that I'm going to continue. So we'll be right back after this.
Hey, it's Flo, and this is my impression of a beat poet. Name your price. A tool, an idea, an inspiration to do more than just say what you want to pay. Oh, no, but to see the options that could fit your budget. Steve, enough bongos.
Find car insurance that fits your budget at progressive.com.
Makes me want to dance. Steve!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blog Talk Radio.
It has been said that those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. The kings of Israel and Judah. Old Testament Israel was unified and ruled by one human for only 120 years of its history. From 1050 to 930 BC, King Saul from the tribe of Benjamin, David from the tribe of Judah, and Solomon each ruled for 40 years. After Solomon's death, the unified kingdom was divided into two distinct entities, different royal lineages. The Most High himself told Solomon that the nation would split into two separate pieces because he caused the people to worship many pagan gods. What made them, and what did ultimately break them? You see, we are a royal people with a royal pedigree. And as we began to awaken from the curses of Deuteronomy 28, and come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments while under grace, we must remember our forefathers and their sins, all while making relevant the lessons of their leadership, the good and the bad. So join me, Elder V, on Blueprint for Life this Shabbat as we look at the kings of Israel and Judah. You see, this is our legacy, our history of our sojourn. You will be inspired
And you will be moved as you learn about your forefathers, the kings of Israel and Judah.
Wednesdays on today, which I'm getting ready to go into. And
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Today, Bridget Griffin shares.
As you will find out that if you go in the archives, you can catch up with the show, all the lessons that we did prior to, which was Saul and David. These being important because Saul was a Benjamite. He ruled for 40 years. And we find out that technically he shouldn't even make it to 40 years, but you need to really go back and listen to the lesson on Saul. It's a fantastic lesson, story there, and a lesson to be learned. Because with Saul, and I'm not going to do a summation of all these, but it's important with Saul because he was the first king. He really hurt Prophet Samuel to the heart, and the Most High, hey, Yah, told him that don't take this personal. This is against me because the people of Judah, children of Israel, my people are saying I'm not enough. They want a man to rule and a king. And it's funny today that even today we still want somebody to lead our community. That's why we looked to Martin Luther King at a time. We looked to Malcolm. We looked to Jesse. We looked to Al Sharpton. And not even understanding COINTELPRO, which I won't go into, which was designed to make sure that there would never be another savior to lead our people, and we still look for a leader, a king. That's why so many of you talking about, that's my pastor, because you look to a man. This started way back with the first king. We wanted to be like the Gentile nations and have somebody to lead us, guide us, and rule us, and didn't realize that the Most High God was enough the whole time, and how we could turn our back on someone that feeds us, clothes us, and delivers us, heals us, sets us free. I never will understand it for the life of me, which is why we are practicing the commandments to make sure we never make that mistake again and that we have a humble heart, heart of humility. As I mentioned before I get into this lesson, that there's so many exploits of Solomon. It's too numerous to teach on. It would just be a series on Solomon by itself. But I'm quite sure many of you are well-versed in some of the accomplishments that Brother Solomon brought forth and how he continued his father's legacy, some of the things that he did. But more importantly, what I want to talk about today is not so much the fall, but it's where I want to pick up that I didn't get a chance to pick up on last time. And I'm just going to go through this chapter. And then after I go through this chapter, it kind of covers Jeroboam, Rehoboam, and the split of the kingdom. So that will be all that I will say about Jeroboam and Rehoboam, which will take me to the next king after them. So without any further ado, if you got your word, why don't you go through with me? Let's turn to 1 Kings, the 11th chapter, reading at the first verse. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, and let's see, Amorites, the Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. And we already know that this was against the father's will to blend with these other nations. But let's go ahead and read why so. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon cleaved unto these in love. So he cleaved to these other women, and the Most High had already given warning. It's amazing that we talked about the fact a man could be so wise and do something so foolish, based on his own personal lust and desires that trumped obedience. And obedience is better than sacrifice, as we learned. Let me continue reading. 1 Kings 11:3. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart, exactly as the Most High warned that they would do. And even in this hour, I don't necessarily condone interracial relationships if you all have two separate faiths. You're already married, that's fine. But if you're going to marry someone, you could find yourself in the same position, someone who's worshiping Buddha, and you know you're trying to keep these commandments, statutes, and laws because this is your culture. See, our culture's been stripped from us, and most of the other nations, their faith and worship is steeped and ingrained in their culture. It's synonymous. It's all a part. Us, we're lost, which is why we participate in every denomination under the sun, which is why we are quick to marry any other nation and practice their culture, assimilate, and worship their gods. But this is against the law that the Father gave us, and we're a lost people, so we don't know how we're supposed to worship within the confines and structure of our culture. And when we begin to wake up and come back to our culture and understanding, we can't be associating and affiliating with these other people. We're not even supposed to, technically, I'm going to tell you something, we got grace. Technically, we're not even supposed to be affiliating, associating, and eating meats that have been slayed and prepared in worship to these other gods. You know what I'm talking about? I'll give you an idea. I know y'all still love to go to these Chinese food and Thai restaurants. And when you go in, you don't see nothing but idols to Buddha and other fallen gods, Mishnu and names that escape me. But I think you understand what I'm saying, and we pay no attention to it. That's why ignorance is bliss. Some of us don't want to know because we love us some Thai food. Well, why can't you make some Thai food at home? What it is that we're such a lost people that we don't know our culture to adapt to it. We have a culture which is steeped in this word, and we have biblical laws that tell us how to conduct ourselves with each other, what we're supposed to eat, how we're supposed to eat and prepare, how we're supposed to dress. There's so many things that are here, but until we come back to the Most High, we won't understand. Getting back to the wives and concubines, such a wise man, but it was in his heart to try some of every flesh. Just try everything looked good to him, and he just wanted to try it all. And you know, the Most High allowed that for a while until he began to allow that other flesh. He married it, became associated with it, two became one, then he began to worship what they worshipped. The Most High spoke against that from the beginning. 1 Kings 11:4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth. We know who that is, the goddess. That's Astarte, Easter. Let's see, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. He served Ammon's god, and we were destroying all these tribes, and he began to worship that he was conquering, and it couldn't even keep them from, their gods couldn't stop him from conquering them. Why would you want to worship something that you destroyed and defeated, and you know it wasn't strong enough to protect those people? I hate to say it, but for such a wise man, that was foolishness. But it was birthed out of lust and desire and disobedience from the statutes, laws, and commandments. Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. See, because no man can serve two masters. There's no way you can worship. You got 700 wives, and they're pulling on you to worship all these other gods. You don't even have time to worship the one true Most High power because you're being swayed. You're being swayed. And so that was doing evil against the one who appointed you and gave you all of the strength, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom that you had, that men from every nation around this earth would come to see him, to glean from this man and sit at his feet, and then for him to do such a foolish thing. 11 and 7, then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab. So he began to worship the Moabites' god in the hill that is before Jerusalem. He put that right next to the hill next to Jerusalem. And listen to this god right here. You all know about this one. And also for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. The Ammonites had the god Molech that the people would sacrifice children to. They got a statue of Molech over there in the Bohemian Grove. People are still sacrificing children at every Planned Parenthood as they do all these various different things with these aborted fetus cells and selling these aborted fetus cells and these dead babies and sacrificing these babies unto Moloch. And Solomon was doing the very same thing, an abomination. We'll see what it led to shortly. Verse 8, and likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Could you imagine having all these wives, 700, sitting up in your house praising all these other strange gods? What the heck was going on? Straight confusion. And the Most High God, Yah, is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of confusion. We know that that comes from Satan, but he never should have had that in his home. It is important that you understand the sanctity of your home means a lot. And what you bring in and what your family worships, which is why it says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You must unify your family, put your family in one accord. Stop having your family worship in different areas. You don't worship together. Y'all waiting on a man to lead you and guide you from overseas via Skype or on some computer. No, you sit your family down and teach your family and pray with your family and throw these idols out of your house and get your family on one accord. This can lead to destruction and chaos and split your home, as we see from Solomon. Reduce it from 700 to your one wife and all your children that are probably bringing in all kinds of abominations from school, from the radio, from TV, from their friends. And you have no knowledge because you're out of touch, because you don't take the time out to minister to your family, being the leader that you're supposed to be. 1 Kings 11, 9. Listen to this. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Most High appeared unto him twice, and he still turned his back on him. You want to talk about how our people are? He allowed those women to get him so screwed up, he turned his back on something he can see. Us today, we live by faith. We haven't seen him, and we won't see him. We can't see him. No man can see him and live. Moses just passed along the backside of Moses, put him in the cleft of the rock. And just from that experience alone, the glory shined from Moses' face that he had to put a veil over his face because the people couldn't stand to see him. They were like, it was horrible. It was terrible, not meaning in an ugly way. It was just they could not deal with that little bit of presence from the Most High that shone from Moses' face. And this man had an opportunity to see him, and still, out of seduction, and your woman telling you, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, pillow talk, everything else, pouting, brought him into the place of worshiping all these various other gods. Let me continue, 1 Kings 11 and 10. And had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. And as we said last Saturday, that at First Commandment, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt have no other gods before me. And he's against idolatry. These things run synonymous, those two commandments, because thou art not supposed to worship idols, and you're not supposed to put anything else before him. The Most High is jealous. How would you feel if your child start loving somebody else's dad more than they love you and worshiping that dad and saying, he's a better dad, he's the best dad. As a matter of fact, I want him to be my dad. I'm going to spend more time with that dad. Imagine how you would feel. Let's move on. 1 Kings 11 and 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. The Most High is not playing about keeping his commandments. Verse 12, notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Right here in verse 12, he's saying, I'm getting ready to rip the kingdom and split it into two different parts, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. But because of your daddy being the apple of my eye, whom I loved, I'm not going to do it while you live. I'm going to wait. And I'm only having mercy because of what was done prior to, because of who your father is. Let me read that again, 1 Kings 11 and 12. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, for King David's sake. It's the only reason he didn't do it. Verse 13, howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe for thy son, for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. We covered this last Saturday, but I wanted you to see this, that the Most High will stir up another nation and an enemy. We don't understand the duplicity of the Most High and how he controls every aspect, the good and the evil. So he will raise up an enemy to deal with you, just like he's going to raise up an enemy, those Medes, to deal with the earth and to deal with Babylon. That's prophecy too. For his word shall be fulfilled. He controls all. That's something you need to understand so that your anxiety and stress and fear level isn't as high as you often have it. Let's continue to move. 1 Kings 11, 14. And the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. And for it came to pass, when David was in Edom, and Joab, the captain of the host, was gone up to bury the slain, after he had smitten every male in Edom. For 6 months did Joab remain there with all Israel, until he had cut off every male in Edom, that Hadad fled, he and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him, to go into Egypt, Hadad being yet a little child. He was just a kid. And they arose out of Midian and came to Paran, and they took men with them out of Paran, and they came to Egypt unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which gave him a house and appointed him victuals and gave him land. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him to wife the sister of his own wife. So we have an Edomite that married an Egyptian. Verse 20, and the sister of Tapenes bear him Genubath, his son, whom Tapenes weaned in Pharaoh's house. And Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. And when Hadad heard in Egypt that David slept with his fathers and that Joab, the captain of the host, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, let me depart that I may go to my own country. She wanted to go back. Then Pharaoh said unto him, he wanted to go back. The Edomite wanted to be with his people. The Edomite wanted to go back to the cave to be with his people. But what hast thou lacked with me? I mean, what else do you need? That beholdest thou seekest to go to thine own country. And he answered, nothing. Howbeit, let me go in any wise. And God stirred him up another adversary. So this time, Rezin, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord Hadadzer, the king of Zobah, and he gathered men unto him and became captain over band when David slew them of Zobah. And they went to Damascus and dwelt therein and reigned in Damascus. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon, beside the mischief that Hadad did. And he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. Now listen to this. This is where we get into the split. First Kings 11 and 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the Ephrathite of Zerda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. Even he came against Solomon. Solomon was in big trouble. You got to think about 700 wives, and just about all of them had him worshiping all of their gods and burning incense in the temple in his home. Most High wasn't playing that. And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king Solomon built and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. And it came to pass at that time, when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way. And he had clad himself with a new garment. And they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take the 10 pieces. And listen to what the prophet said. Listen to what the prophet said unto him. He said, nah, take 10 pieces. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rip the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the kings of Judah and Israel. Listen, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, verse 33, because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David. That's why you got to go back into the archives and listen to the importance of David. David, whom I chose. He did choose David right after Saul messed up in his first year. The Most High had already selected David from the foundations of the womb. And this was a man after his own heart and did great things. 1 Kings 11 and 34, howbeit I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. You hear this? David's biggest problem, we all know, was taking another man's wife and having that man killed. But he repented and he knew how to be broken and to repent. But he kept those commandments. He kept those statutes. He knew how to worship. But this story is not about David. You can go into the archives and listen. Verse 35, but I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and will give it unto thee. Even 10 tribes, and unto his son will I give one tribe, that David my servant may have a light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and will give Israel unto thee. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. Solomon sought therefore to kill Jeroboam. Jeroboam arose and fled into Egypt, unto Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Solomon pulled a Saul, like Saul pulled with David, because this anointing and prophecy came upon Jeroboam to have the 10 tribes. Listen to this. And the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? So you can only, it's in the scriptures, and people want to deny the Apocrypha or the extracurricular books that they kept out. You have to find this book and go read about the acts. It'll break down everything that he did achieve. But look how he ended up. Where you are today doesn't necessarily determine where you will be tomorrow. But you can decide, based upon keeping these statutes, laws, and commandments and walking in the way and not being deterred by your personal desires, your flesh, your personal ambitions. But at the end of the day, David said, fear God and keep his commandments. That's in Ecclesiastes. He said, when it's all said and done, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. So verse 42, and the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years, and Solomon slept with his fathers. So we see Jeroboam and Rehoboam taking over the northern and the southern kingdoms. And Jeroboam having the 10 tribes. Of course, we understand that the other one that he did say for David was the tribe of Judah, which you will also have the tribe of Benjamin coming out of. We can talk about Jeroboam's apostasy, Rehoboam, next week, but I just wanted to cover some of that again, and I didn't want to go into the rest of those kings. Know that the split came with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. Of course, all hell breaks loose then, and we do understand the history, but we want to grab key nuggets as we study the kings of Judah and Israel on their exploits, their rises, and how they fail. We don't want to repeat the past, but we want to glean even from their mistakes. That's what life is all about. They are actually giving back to us by someone having scripted all of the acts of their lives. And when we look at it, we should be able to say, how could one, you know, like for instance, Solomon, one so wise, make such a foolish mistake? And when I think about it, sometimes we feel like we deserve things after we've done so much. I could see Solomon having so much wisdom, having so many different things, and he was like, what about me? Some things for me. And that's why we understand with our King Christ that we have to die out to flesh and die out to our desires. He'll give us the desires of our heart, but once we fall in love with the commandments and the Most High, our desires should change, and our desire should be as it was with Moses, which is show me your glory. Our desire should be to get close to him. Just to be close to you is my desire. So your desire shouldn't be that I want to have all of the accoutrements and great things in this earth to show off that I am the man. No, you were already the man because you had the wisdom, but you should have wanted to stay in that place of the source of that wisdom and not come out and say, I owe it to myself. I think that's where we all get in trouble. I know I can get in trouble when I say it's time to take a break, take a vacation, take some time off. And it's just when you let that little crack or you open the jar, I think you kick back. There's never no kicking back in this army. The Most High is looking for soldiers, generals, warriors that will be 24/7 fight, serve him, worship him, love him till the day you die. There is no saying I'm just going to take some time off. You might be on vacation in Barbados and somebody come and ask you the truth. I need to know the truth. You might be on vacation somewhere overseas and see somebody with a demon spirit. And you have to cast it out and bring them into the truth. You never know. There's no time off when you're serving the Most High. He called you according to his purpose before the foundations of the earth. And so from what I see, I can see a man in today's hour that has that many riches, that much wisdom, and everybody hailing him. It's going to be very difficult for you to stay focused and to keep your eye on the prize and your purpose, because the way our society is now, it's full of lust, pride of life, pride of the flesh, and people will pull on you, want to interview you and make you say with your own mouth that you're great when you know you're supposed to be giving praise to the Most High. When somebody compliments you or says something about you or asks you how you did it, it's all for the glory of the kingdom and our people, because we're called according to this purpose. Let us understand that. I think that's the most important thing I got out of Solomon. Great wisdom from this man, even on how to love a woman and treat a woman, even on how to talk to a woman in the Songs of Solomon. Just great analysis of life, a great observance of life, what it's all about and how it ends up. teaches you how to take things in, some great things. But at the end of the day, this man died having lost his mind. Read it, as I said last week, and I'm just saying it with clarity. This man lost his mind from worshiping all these other gods. And that was in the testament of Solomon. You've got to know that if you've been given the power to control a bunch of demons and run them around, one day they're going to want to get you. They don't like you having power over them. He had power over them. It wasn't a hexagram. It was a pentagram on that ring that he had. Well, he had authority over them. We have authority today. But don't think you can sit up here and act like you have authority over demons and then you want to go play in their play yard and go somewhere, do the stanky leg, get turned up, get high, smoke, and tiptoe, adultery, fornication, and don't think they're not going to say, ah, we got him now. He then took off his royal garments and he wants to play with us. You'll be destroyed. Ask Brother Solomon. And that's where it stands. You can't take time off. You can't play with this thing. Our vacation and enjoyment comes in the pleasure of knowing that we serve an awesome God, the Most High, Ahayah. We serve him, and he said, count it all joy. Be content. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He inhabits the praises of his people. Praise is done with adulation. Praise is done when you reflect on how he's done stuff for you he shouldn't have done. Get to a place where you don't ever want to forsake that, destroy that, leave that just because of your flesh or what you can see with your eyes, your stimulation. Get some character about yourself and stand fast in the liberty wherewith he has set you free. All praises to the Most High. I am cutting it short for tonight, and it is my prayer that you'll be encouraged, and we'll talk to you on the other side, Most High willing. This is your brother Elder V saying the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, for truth is a journey, it's not a destination. Be strong. I'm praying for you.
Isaiah 6:8. I also heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, Lord, send me.
Your will be done in my life so that my light will shine.